Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here's the news for the headlines. Indonesian batik clothing at 80th Trade Expo enthralls South Africans. Bank Negara Indonesia supports increasing seafood exports to United States. Now the news in detail, read by Stefanus Wau. Various Indonesian batik clothing and fabrics featured at the Indonesian Pavilion at 2019 Apparel, Textile and Footwear Trade Exhibition in Cape Town, South Africa on June 12 until the 14th, captivated South African visitors. Batik yet again succeeded in drawing the attention of foreign visitors to the Cape Town International Convention Center, where the three-day ATF exhibition was held. The Wastra Nusantara sequence at the fashion show on the second day of the exhibition was enlivened by the latest collection of batik designers and entrepreneurs from Lampung, Pekalongan, and Bandung. At the exhibition, Indonesian showcase was replete with contrasting colors but appeared harmonious, connected by rich patterns and textures symbolizing the archipelago. Through the ATF exhibition, the Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria, Indonesian Consulate General in Cape Town, and Indonesian Trade Promotion Center in Johannesburg have collaborated to popularize and market batik in a more systematic way in African markets. We move on with the next news. PT Bank Negara Indonesia, through the New York branch office, United States, providing support for financing facilities to Crystal Cove Seafood Corp., a seafood trading company from U.S. that imports commodity from Indonesia. The financing facility to be channeled is $6.8 million and will be used to increase the volume of seafood imports from Indonesia. The funding distribution was marked by the signing of a loan facility between Bank Negara Indonesia and Crystal Cove in New York, USA on Friday local time. The bank's corporate secretary press release in Jakarta said on Saturday that the signing was attended by the Treasury and International Director of BNI, Rico Budidarbo, CEO of Crystal Cove, James Salierno, and General Manager of BNI New York, Aida Azhar. Rico Budidarmo said the provision of this facility is one of BNI's overseas branch commitment to continue to seek and open new cooperation opportunities with overseas business entities, including America. We move on to the next news. The Coordinating Maritime Affairs Ministry has facilitated meetings between Chinese and Indonesian delegations in Jakarta on Friday during Indonesian Business Visit and China International Contractors Association, CINCHA. The activity was attended by 31 business persons who are representative from CINCHA and leaders from several companies in the fields of energy, transportation and infrastructure development, machinery manufacturing, as well as financial institutions, most of which came from Beijing and the surrounding areas, as well as a large Chinese group of companies and state firms. Deputy for Infrastructure Coordination Ridwan Jamaluddin noted in the press release in Jakarta Saturday that Indonesia was still prioritizing Java. The government is optimistic of realizing equitable infrastructure development across all regions. Since 2017, Indonesian government has, on the basis of input from private and state-owned firms, compiled proposals that are then incorporated into 30 projects in 4 development corridors with a value reaching $91.1 billion. The corridors are in North Sumatra, North Kalimantan, North Sulawesi, and Bali. We continue with the next news. Indonesia is ready to hold again the Asia-Pacific Geoparks Network, or AGPN 2019, which is planned to take place at UNESCO Global Mount Rinjani Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara on August 30th until September 6th this year. Assistant Deputy for Maritime Innovation Network of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Latif Nurbana, in the press release on Saturday explained that the AGPN event would at the same time to show the origin of the people of Lombok who has lived alongside Mount Rinjani. Latif Nurmana further said the AGPN was also expected to be able to inform that West Nusa Tenggara was safe to visit, considering that some time ago the region was rocked by a fairly powerful earthquake. We continue with the next news. Robotic automation products or automation machines driven by the nation's robots competed in the Mexican market with a high level of interest among enthusiasts at Expo PAC exhibition in Guadalajara City, Mexico on June 11th until 13th, 2019. Products of particular interest to local food and beverage entrepreneurs comprise linear liquid filling and white hygiene conveyors that are made to order. Three Indonesian firms, PT The Packaging Integra Center, PT Prima Makmur Roto Kemindo, and Charta Global, participated in the annual international exhibition on innovation in the largest processing and packaging sector in Latin America. Companies that already have domestic customers packing instant noodles, sweets, snack, coffee, biscuits, and paper products have established business with the largest instant noodle company in United States, Maruchan, whose products dominate the Mexican market. Expo PAC 2019 is targeting to attract 16,000 potential buyers, especially from Latin America, United States, Canada. Some 700 companies stand showcase products with the latest technology that are environmentally friendly. Still about commodity. Indonesia wants to increase the export of coffee commodities to the Marseille region in France. Marseille is called having a coffee industry center with a wide network. Indonesian consultant Marseille Asianto Sinambela, who accompanied the working visit of the coordinated Minister of Economic Affairs Damina Sution to Marseille, said there was a good potential for Indonesian youth to study in there in the field of expertise, which was a French superiority. That advantage is like the process of making perfume and processing coffee. During his visit on Friday, Damien and Asianto met the Marseille mayor, Mr. Jean-Claude Godin. Asianto said the two parties committed to open business contacts to the widest possible extent, especially to build a direct trade route for Indonesian coffee commodities. Mayor Jean-Claude Godin welcomed the Indonesian desire to intensify trade relations with South France. And here is the last item. The government of Central Bangka Regency, Bangka Belitung Islands Province, promotes superior quality paper commodities abroad in order to penetrate the international market. This was said by the Central Bangka Regent Ibnu Saleh in Koba on Saturday. He explained, among the potential markets of Central Bangka's paper was the Netherlands and had promoted it in the country. According to him, intensifying promotion of paper products is part of a strategy to boost domestic paper prices to continue to decline lately. However, the region requested to continue to expand the paper planting area to increase production and certainly not neglect the quality. Well, listener, that's the news from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
This week's spotlight is on maintaining a conducive constitutional court session. The constitutional court began to hear the dispute over the results of the presidential election openly. After the preliminary hearing on Friday, the court will hold a hearing from June the 17th to 21st. The reading of the verdict was scheduled for June the 28th. The Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court, Anwar Usman, in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the 9 constitutional justices were ready to hear the election outcome dispute. Anwar Usman said his party might have decided the 2019 presidential election dispute sooner than the predetermined schedule. According to him, everything depends on the things that happened at the trial. Anwar Usman also appealed to supporters of the presidential and vice presidential candidates not to flog the constitutional court. All parties were asked to maintain a conducive atmosphere during the proceedings of the dispute over the results of the general election in the constitutional courts, which will begin tomorrow. Anwar Usman promised that the constitutional court would work professionally and openly in hearing the dispute over the election results submitted by presidential candidate Vice Presidential Candidate Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno. According to Anwar, the special preparation is to pray. He prayed especially for the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia to remain intact.
The General Election Commission on May the 21st has determined the results of the 2019 presidential election. Pair number 1, Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin, received 55.50% and pair number 2, Prabowo Sandiaga Uno, 44.50%. In accordance with the election law, election participants can file an election result dispute to the Constitutional Court. Ahead of the trial, an appeal from a number of figures emerged so that there would be no mass collection around the Constitutional Court building. Prabowo, through video recordings, also asked his supporters not to go to the court during the trial. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko appreciated Prabowo's statement. Therefore, Muldoko says that the move should be followed by Prabowo's Sunday supporters. Meanwhile, the Constitutional Court spokesperson, who is also a Constitutional Court Justice, Idewa Gede Palguna, said that the demonstration was not necessary because the Constitutional Court examined independent and impartial cases based on the evidence revealed in court. Palguna added that the trial could be attended by people everywhere, not only through television, but also through channels that broadcast live on YouTube MK. Well, that was highlights or spotlights of the week over Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, we'll begin with what happened on June 16, 1908, Blasting War in West Sumatra. Blasting War is a war that occurred because of the arbitrary action of the then Dutch colonial government to the people of Minangkabau, West Sumatra. It was due to the application of blasting or land taxes that were contrary to the Minangkabau customs known for generations. Blasting War began in Kamang, then spread to other areas such as Lintau Buo in Padang, West Sumatra. This war was led by female fighters from Minang, Siti Manggopoh. She was considered very brave and persistent in opposing the foreign colonies of the Dutch East India's government. Turning to June 16, 1963, Valentina Tereshkova becomes the first female astronaut from the Soviet Union to fly into space. Valentina Vladimirovna Tereshkova was born in Bolshoye Maslennikovo, Yaroslavl Oblast, Russia, on March 6, 1937. She was the first female cosmonaut from the Soviet Union and the first woman in the world to fly into space. She flew using the space shuttle Vostok 6 in 1963. Valentina Tereshkova was in space for 70 hours and 50 minutes and had traveled around the Earth 48 times. I'll end with June 16, 2010, Bhutan applies a ban on tobacco. The Bhutan Tobacco Control Act was passed in Bhutan by Parliament on June 16, 2010. This law regulates the prohibition of planting, harvesting, producing, and selling tobacco and tobacco products in Bhutan. The law also mandates that the Bhutanese government provide counseling and care to facilitate the cessation of tobacco. Well, that was today in history, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Patrick in United Kingdom. Hello, Mr. Patrick. Thank you for your email to our broadcast. You can find out our English broadcast schedule on website www.voinews.id. And very best regards from Voice of Indonesia's crew to you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
rasa berwarna, dia segalanya. Yeah. Bibirnya yang merah merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. Ku berjalan menuju arahnya, melihat dirinya yang istimewa. Setiap langkahku menuju selamanya. Yeah. Wajahmu, senyummu, hangat peluk tubuhmu, kesamu, belainmu, membuatku selalu rindu. Lepaskan semua masalahmu, tinggalkan semua masa lalu. Berhenti, 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 hentikan waktu di dekatku. Cinta, mengapa kau menatapku dengan manja? Indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Oh, hari semakin terasa berwarna, dia segalanya.
Of Indonesia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today, Sunday, June the 16th, is on International Chess Tournament in Yogyakarta. 12 foreign chess players, 5 of whom are female, are testing the resilience of national chess players at the Java Grandmaster International Chess Tournament and 2019 Women's Grandmaster, which opened in Yogyakarta on Thursday. Among the foreign chess players is Ivan Sokolov, who was named the Super Grandmaster and won the 2,706 ELO rating in January 2004. Another famous chess player who is also competing in the Japfa Grandmaster and 2019 Women's Grandmaster is Dmitry Kokarev from Russia. With a 2,609 ELO rating, the chess player who won the Grandmaster title in 2007 is the highest ranking chess player in the tournament held by Indonesian PB Percasi in collaboration with the Japfa Confit. In addition to the two chess players, other foreign chess players are GM Rustam Kusunuddinov from Kazakhstan, Raghunandan Kaumandur Srihari from India, Argyadeep Das from India, Ravi Teja from India. The chess players are to play against Indonesian national chess players. For the Indonesian men's category, among others, Susanto Megaranto, who has 2,548 ELO rating, Novendra Priasmoro, and female chess players, women grandmaster Medina Warda Aulia with 2,375 ELO rating. In this championship, Susanto Megaranto won a brilliant start after beating Ivan Sokolov in the first party on Thursday in Yogyakarta. Susanto forced the veteran Dutch chess player to give up in the 49th step. The victory led Susanto to lead the men's group standings with Rustam Kusunuddinov from Kazakhstan, who defeated Medina Warga Aulia on the 47th, and Raghunandan Kaumandar Srihari, who beat Azaria Jody Stiakiv at step 30. The chairperson of the Big Indonesian Chess Association, Percasi, Grandmaster Utut Adianto, explained the presence of foreign chess players, in addition to maintaining the quality of the JAPFA tournament, are also to test the national chess players' abilities. For JAPFA, this is the 20th time to sponsor an international tournament since 1999. Many national chess players were born from these tournaments, including GM Susanto Megaranto, Irene Karima Sukandar, and Medina Warda Aulia. Well, that was my Indonesia Today from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we reply an email from our regular listener, Kazuhiro Takao in Japan. He was listening to our podcast in Japanese program with Sinpo 2422 until 2322. Hello, Mr. Kazuhiro Takao. Thank you for sending reception report on our broadcast. As information, now you can monitor our radio through frequency 3325 kHz or website www.voinews.id. I hope that you can listen to our broadcast clearly. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, here is a beautiful song for you. Enjoy the song.
Kupandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Kupandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Takkan baik bila kamu sudah tak tahan begitu. Tak perlu menunggu waktu untuk kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu.
Jika kau ingin pergi, shua, shua, pa, terjadi, aku kan berkata. Tekan apa? Tekan apa? Tekan apa? Tekan apa? Jika kau ingin pergi, tinggalkan aku. Tinggalkan aku. Oh, oh, no. Tekan apa? Tekan apa? Tekan apa? Tekan apa? Jika kau ingin pergi, tinggalkan aku. Tinggalkan aku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Arara was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce Batu Putih Beach in Alor Island, East Nusa Tenggara. Island in East Nusa Tenggara is one of the outermost islands in the Indonesian territory, which waters bordering Timor Leste. On this small island, there is an amazing underwater beauty, but today I will not invite you to enjoy the beauty of the underwater. Today, I will ask you to see beautiful tourism object Batu Putih Beach. Batu Putih Beach in Kabola sub-district can be reached by car from Mali Airport. This airport is the gateway to enter Alor Island. Tourists usually stop at El Tari Airport in Kupang before continuing the flight to Alor. To get to Alor, there are two choices of transportation modes. The first is by Transnusa plane. This is the fastest but most expensive way to reach Alor with a fixed schedule. The second option is cheaper. It is by ferry, which departs from Bolok Port and takes about 14 hours to travel. This ferry only operates twice a week from Kupang, which is Tuesday and Saturday around 2 p.m. The ferry will return to Kupang the next day at the same time. Reaching the beach of Batu Putih, the height of a hill begins to appear. The long curved coastline and glittering white coupled with turquoise clear sea water adds to the beauty of Batu Putih beach scenery. Batu Putih beach does offer a beautiful view. This position of the sun-blocked by hills makes the afternoon atmosphere on this beach shady. The position of the beach is notched with a tendency towards the north. These cliffs look greenish in the rainy season, but brownish in the dry season due to the dried grasses. The shore is decorated with broken white pebbles, so that as far as the eye can see, there are white stones of various sizes, ranging from the size of a grain of rice to the size of marbles. The expanse of this rock is not only in one or two places, but on the entire coastline of Batu Putih, which makes it rather difficult to walk on it. However, this is precisely the uniqueness of this beach, which is indeed the only one in Indonesia. The name Batu Putih or White Stones is taken from high and almost perpendicular cliffs, which are also boundaries of a village. The white stone stands upright, extending from the village to the beach, therefore the beach is called the Batu Putih Beach. After you are satisfied playing on the beach of Batu Putih or White Stone, before leaving Alor to Kupang, you can buy Alor souvenirs at the market nearby, such as ikat weaving cloth, bead necklaces, and Alor traditional house miniatures, as well as typical Alor cakes like kenari jagung titi. Kenari means walnut, jagung is corn, so actually it is similar to popcorn, and kue rambut. That was Indonesian Wonder today, introducing Batu Putih Beach on Alor Island. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Merdin Mourad in Algeria. Hello, Mr. Merdin Mourad. Thank you for visiting Voice of Indonesia website on www.voinews.id. We have a good news for our regular listeners throughout the world. VOI International Quiz 2019 will come soon. Please keep listening to our podcast and don't be miss it. Well, listener, for you, we will play a beautiful song. Happy listening!
Siapa yang benar salah, siapa yang
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today's Miscellany is about Ubud, Bali is ready to be global gastronomy destination. Ubud in Gianyar Jansi, Bali is ready to be UNWTO's version of Global Gastronomy Destination. UNWTO team had been in Indonesia to do assessment in Ubud. Meanwhile, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya explained Ubud is chosen as candidate for world-class gastronomy destination since it fulfilled some special criteria. They include culinary as part of lifestyle, use of local product, possessing local culture and history, food background, as well as nutrition and health. However, besides them all, Minister Arief Yahya added, a world-class culinary destination must also have world-class certification. Tourism Ministry's Culinary and Shopping Development Acceleration Team had Vita Datau Mesah in Gianyar Communication and Informatics Agency's press release said the selection was a stage of gastronomy tourism product development. Indonesian Tourism Ministry Program and UNWTO had entered the visit stage for destination assessment. According to Vita, the ministry had proposed Ubud since 2017. It is because Indonesia in general has great potential in terms of cultural diversity and abundant local food ingredients which support the realization of gastronomy tourism destination. Vita Datau said there are three stages in making Ubud World's gastronomy destination. It began from asset and attraction listing to map industry and business people preparation. Then it all was put into a report submitted to UNWTO. Next is UNWTO assessment. There will be verification and analysis through interview with stakeholders of the gastronomy sector, hotel, restaurant, chef, food festival initiator, regional government, academician, travel agent, and tourists. The assessment will take 8 days around Ubud. There will be also online and offline questionnaires for 3 weeks while finalizing the planning and recommendation strategy. After that, recommendation needs to be made by the office holders for the second assessment in early August 2019. They were trying to make the program realize immediately, so Ubud can be the first holistic gastronomy prototype in Indonesia and even the world. Meanwhile, the Pang Lingsir, local term for leader, of the Ubud Palace, Ida Cokorda Raka Sukawati, said the journey of Ubud to be known internationally was very long. It is very closely related to the strength of Ubud in maintaining its arts and culture from generation to generation. Also, with all natural potential and local wisdom, Ubud becomes very unique for the tourists. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pernah.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again with me Putri in Music Corner. Today's edition will present you a song by Aliyah Masaid. Aliyah Masaid is a singer who has a declining talent from one of the Indonesian divas, Reza Artamevia, and famous actor Aji Masaid. Through her first single entitled Ulangi, Aliyah proved her talent. Besides sings nicely, she also took part in creating this song along with the label producer Pika Iskandar. In addition, during the recording process of this song, the mother, Reza Artamevia, helped and supported her. The song Ulangi, or Repeat, tells the story of a woman who made a mistake with her partner and was afraid to lose her lover and hoped to be able to repeat their romance from the beginning again. Well, listener, here is Aliyah Masaid with her song Ulangi.
Maafkanlah semua salahku, jika ini yang buatmu tinggalkanku. Dengarkan aku, jangan menyerah dulu, tak mau kehilanganmu. Tetaplah di sini denganku, ku tak ingin kau berpaling dahulu. Ku takut bila kamu ketemu selainku, tak mau, ku tak mau. Coba kita
of Indonesia.
Oh, 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 oh. jiwa. Dirimu satu mimpiku.
Hey!
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.